Your sausage McMuffin with egg didn't change. Your receipt did. The sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal includes a hash brown and a small coffee for just $5. Only at McDonald's for a limited time.
Price and participation may vary. Promotion pricing may be lower than meal pricing.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Christian Skelton here with you on this Friday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, Outdoor Patios, Landscaping Design, Lawn Maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Joe, Alex Doherty, friend of the show from the Tennessean who covers the Nashville Predators, threw it out there earlier this week, and it's a spicy one, and I kind of enjoy it. This is what Alex Doherty, the headline is at the Tennessean. 10 years after Shea Weber, why the Predators should trade captain Roman Josi. So that'll get your attention. That has gotten the attention of Predators fans. Joe, as you'll remember, it was the summer of 2016 when Shea Weber gets traded for PK Subban, and we know what happened after that. Now, I would say franchise is in a very different spot than it was when that that trade and that deal went down. But we've talked about the Josi part of this, right? He's got 2 years left on his deal. He is a career Nashville Predator. I think he's going in the Hall of Fame one day. And you look at the Predators roster and you say, all right, well, how close are these guys to being a contender? And if you're Josi, how do you feel about it? Like, if you look at the roster and you come to the conclusion that you're not a Stanley Cup contender over the next couple of years, how do you feel about that if you're Roman Josi? Josi, 36 years old. He is entering into, I guess, what will be his, I could count him up real quick, but I want to say, like, is this year 16, year 17 for him coming up next year? Like, it's pretty wild. So there's a lot of hockey that's been played by Roman Josi. So what do you make of this idea, Joe, of Roman Josi, the way that he has played, 2 years left on his deal, he's been a career Predator, he's played over 1,000 games with the franchise. What do you make of the idea of the Predators trading Roman Josi, as Alex Doherty from the Tennessean suggests?
Well, we've talked about this before, but thank you, Alex, for giving us license to talk about it again, and now you can get yelled at, and I'm with him. Now, first of all, I appreciate that Alex didn't write in here I was thinking about this on Sunday, July 20th. I'm glad that there was no line like that. Sorry, I had to get a shot at again. But no, it's a good column, and I think it absolutely should be on the table. 100% should be on the table. Should not be a non-starter. I've heard Willie say, like, they are not trading Roman Josi. Like, declarative statement, just forget about it. I hope that's not how they feel. I hope that's not how Chris McFarland feels, because as Alex points out, as he writes, the return has to be really strong. The return has to be worth it. And to him, that's multiple. He says, quote, would have to involve multiple first round pick level assets, including at least one NHL ready player, end quote. And he throws out like comparing the one for ones, the one for one from 10 years ago with Weber Subban. Like he throws out Werenski and Ekblad, of course you don't just trade, but it would, to me, require like a knock your socks off return. Is that even realistic in this league? I don't know. The way the cap's going, he throws out some teams: Carolina, Edmonton, Florida, Tampa, possibly Buffalo. Like, if you could get Roman Josi, even in this, at this stage of his career, You know, do any of those teams look at that like, man, that could be the final piece? I don't know. It would have to knock your socks off. But yes, 100% to me, you do not, this should not be a non-starter. This should be in play. And all the things, you know, about, oh, I want him to be here his whole career and all that stuff, that's got to be secondary to making your franchise better and relevant again.
I would agree with all that. Like, I think it's got to be on the table. You know, some of this is going to be as simple. I mean, I think we're to the point now of the offseason where I would be surprised if a big-time move like that happens now. Like, you know, I mean, training camp's not that far away. Like, we're you know, a month and a half, really less than that when you think about it, away from training camp. So my guess is that you're going to get into the season, and there could be a couple more moves that get made, but I don't think they're trading Roman Josi between now and the time training camp starts. And I would say you see how the season goes, and this is with Josi, but I think it's with a lot of the guys on their team. Like, I would throw O'Reilly into this category. I would throw Stamkos into this category. You see how the season goes, and if it becomes clear along the way that you're going to be a team that is basically what they've been, which is probably right on the playoff bubble. Either maybe you barely make it in or you barely miss out. Then I think you leave yourself open to everything if you're Chris McFarland at that point. And again, like the big driving part of all of this is Josi himself, right? Like, if Josi himself approaches you and says, hey, I've got 2 years left on my deal. Let's say you get to the trade deadline this year. I got, you know, another year and a half left on my deal, and I want to go somewhere where I've got a chance to win a Stanley Cup before I call it quits here in a couple of years. Well, I think as a franchise, like, don't you kind of owe that to him, right? If that's what he wants to do. Now, look, he may not. He may look at this and say, I want to finish my career as a Nashville Predator, and that's what I want to do. And if he does, I mean, he's got total control over that. He's got a no movement clause, so. Like, you can operate that way. I'm just saying, like, I think if you're Chris McFarland, one of the advantages that you're in coming into a new situation and not having any ties to the organization is I think it does allow you to be open-minded to all this stuff. And I think you'd be crazy not at least to be open-minded to it. And you can have those conversations as the season goes on if you deem it necessary. Now, I mean, who knows? Maybe they're way better than people think they're going to be this year, and Roman Josi looks at it and says, well, maybe we're closer to winning here than I think. I have no idea how the season is going to play out, but I don't know that I would close my mind off to anything right now if I'm Chris McFarland.
No, this is certainly among the things that could really end up being beneficial. Like you said, just not having – the Preds have been too deferential to some play. Ryan O'Reilly is prime example. You just have to be more cutthroat than that. And so McFarland comes in. He doesn't have these years and years of relationship with Roman Josi. You know, obviously he respects him. Everybody respects him. And like you said, he's got control. It'd be interesting. I mean, you tell me, one of these teams I just mentioned, or a team that's a legit contender, comes with something that absolutely would be a great return for the Preds. So you're talking about helping the Preds. And Josi can go hunt a cup. Do you think he'd actually balk at that and say, nah, I'm good?
I mean, I don't know, but I would have to think that. I mean, I go back to Pierre LeBrun and all this. And at the trade deadline last year, he was talking about, in a piece he did for The Athletic, hey, keep an eye on Roman Josi and what happens in Nashville. Well, he's not just making that up. Like, he's getting that from probably Yossi's agent, if I had to guess, right?
Yeah,
so, like, I would have to think if the situation arises where it becomes clear that this team is not going to do anything this year and the Predators approached Josi with a trade to a team that he felt like was a good fit, I'd have to think he would at least seriously consider it. Like, I don't think he would be totally closed off to it. I don't know that. I mean, look, I do think, and I've talked with him a little bit about this, I do think playing for one team as long as he has does mean something to him. I think it means a lot to him to have spent his entire career in Nashville. But I also think, I mean, you know, at some of the points we've had these conversations, Joe, I mean, he's been right in the thick of a season as a captain of a team, and they're trying to win. Like, when you start looking at kind of the end here, and who knows? I mean, Roman Josi may sign a contract here in a couple years and play, you know, 3-4 more years. I have no idea. But he's got 2 years left on his deal. He has injury concerns that he has dealt with throughout his career. He's got a POTS diagnosis. He's got a young family. Like, there's a lot to consider here if you're Josi. I would have to think that, like, in the back of your mind, if this scenario played out and the Predators approached them with something that said, hey, I mean, look at this offer. What do you think? I'd have to think that he would at least seriously think about going to join a true contender.
Yeah, it's just because it is. It's short term and legacy and all that secure. You know, Alex ends his column with, like, who wouldn't want to see him, you know, hoist the cup? Now, some Preds fans may be like, no, I don't want to see him hoist the cup for another team. Like, I like Roman Josi, but no, I don't, you know, I don't want to see, like, one of our greatest players of all time, you know, win a cup with someone else. So some people feel like that. But yeah, I've got to think. I would think that he would do it if and again, like, there, if the conversation is Roman, like, you know, this is you love this franchise, like, this can really mean something to us in a couple of years when you were going to retire anyway. You know, I mean, I think that's part of the conversation. Jacob in the YouTube chat says if you trade him, you got to trade Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly. Well, you don't. I mean, that may happen too. He says, I'm not sure how those guys are going to buy into this if they see you make a move like that. Well, that's true. If you trade one of these guys, then the others who are left behind there's no question, right?
Some of that's up to them. Like, again, I don't think this is happening right now. So some of that's up to them. Like, if they don't have the season that they need to have and they're not in a playoff mix by the time the deadline comes around, well, at some point, you don't really have anybody to blame other than yourself. Like, it's time to move on at that point.
Yeah. Right, like, this could certainly, there could be massive stuff going on here at the deadline with, you know, not just one, but more than one of those guys.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your reaction to get to on the Roman Josi front. Should the Predators consider trading Roman Josi? We'll get into that. Robbie and Retro, 1025 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds taking on the Sugarland Space Cowboys. First pitch at 7:05. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, and Social Cantina. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean putting it out there, making the case for the Predators to trade Roman Josi. Taking your reaction to that. One texter, Alex, says, yeah, they should consider trading anyone for the right return. Another texter says, I want a more ruthless Preds front office. The Preds are not cup contenders. You have to listen to all offers. It may hurt, but do we want a cup here or to just be the franchise everyone goes to ride off into the sunset? And that has been a very popular text that we've received over the last few years, Joe.
Yeah, I believe a certain GM in Preds history said that. Like, this is not the place to come for that, right? And yet then it's kind of seemed like it was the place to come for that for some guys. So not what you want.
Not what you want. I mean, I do think there's a little bit more nuance to this one than there is, like, your normal one. Like, Ryan O'Reilly has been a really good player for the Nashville Predators, right? But Ryan O'Reilly and Roman Josi in Predators history are not the same thing. Like, it's not. No. It's not. I mean, you're talking about, if you force me to guess, probably the greatest player that you've ever had, right? I mean, it's debatable. Like, I think it's between him, Weber, and Rene. And I think you can make the case for all three. But Josi is in that conversation as, like, the greatest player that you've had. And he is your homegrown guy. And, like, it's not unimportant to have a guy like that comes in and plays his entire, in my opinion, Hall of Fame-worthy career in your uniform. I think what you said is absolutely right, though. Like, from a legacy perspective, his legacy here is secure. Like, he will always be a Nashville Predator. One day he is going to have his number retired. you know, we can get into the statue debate if you want to. But he is going to have his number retired here, and we'll see what that kind of looks like moving forward here. That's not going to change whether or not he finishes the next 2 years here or if he gets traded next week and plays the next 2 years for, like, the Florida Panthers or whatever it is. Like, that's not going to change when it comes to Roman Josi. So that part of it I'm not as worried about. I just – one of the big questions I have on this is, what is the return? Like, I think everybody speculates as to what the return could be. Like, at age 36, what is the return for Roman Josi actually going to be? And that is what I don't really know. Like, he had a good year last year when he was healthy. He played 68 games. He had 55 points. But there's no doubt, like, he's not the same defender that he used to be. And I don't know that he's ever been, like, an elite of the elite defender. Like, when you start talking about Josi's game, you always have started with the offense and the skating ability. And I think he'll be able to do that to a certain degree until he wants to stop playing, right? Like, he can still skate pretty well. He still is dangerous on the power play. He can move the puck, all those things. I just don't know exactly what the return is going to look like. If it is what Alex suggests, Joe, and it's the level of two first-round picks, then, yeah, I think you'd have to at least consider that if you're the Predators.
Yeah, so the return now, let's say, you know, and obviously we're here on July 24th. Let's say, you know, a team going into the season looking at it versus the return at the trading deadline.
Right.
I mean, like, there may be a team that's just like, okay, he's clearly now, we're close, but that is the piece right there.
I think there could be. Some of it's how he plays. Like, what if he plays great this year? Like, what if he comes out and he's playing really well, and for whatever reason, like, nothing else on the Predators is working, right? Like, you would be hard. It's hard to imagine him playing really, really well and them not at least being in the mix of a playoff spot by the time the deadline comes around. But it's not impossible. Like, what if he plays really well and they just run through, like, this rash of injuries and, like, Saros isn't stopping the puck and all these things? Like, it could happen. Like, that to me would be interesting because if he is, you know, I think the days of him being a Norris Trophy contender are probably done at this point. But you could still be a pretty darn good defenseman and not be a Norris Trophy contender. So what if he does that this year? What if he comes out there and they've played, you know, by the time the deadline's rolling around, they're at game 43 or 44, and he's got 44 points in 44 games, right? Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Absolutely, somebody could look at him and say, yeah, bring him in. He doesn't have to play top-line defensive minutes, but he can come in and run our power play right now, right? Like, that could absolutely influence the return.
Right. On the flip side, look, the guy, as you said, the guy has been, you know, in this league, if you're really good, you start playing in this league young and you play that many years and you take the beating he's taken, you could see a decline in him this season. You could see him get hurt this season. And then, you know, it's like, man, it would have been nice to get the return, you know, going into the year out of that, and now you don't really have, you know, the prospects have diminished in terms of, you know, what you could do if that's the case too. So,
well, the other part of this, Joe, is it's been a long time since Josi's had experienced, you know, a high level of winning, right? Like, he's got to deep down be kind of starved for that, right? And he's not the only one, but, like, the Predators have put together in recent years, like, you know, a couple years ago, they went on the 18-game point streak and they made the playoffs and, like, they were playing playoff hockey. But it's been a long time at this point since they were what I think most people would consider to be a true threat to compete for a championship. So, like, in the back of your mind, how much does that factor into things? Like, you know, somebody on the YouTube chat's talking about, like, it's more complicated than just the winning. Like, a lot of these guys are later in the careers and they have young kids and they have families. And all that factors into it. I just wonder, what is Josi himself looking to accomplish over these next 2 years? And how much is winning a part of it, right? Like, has he already decided that the next 2 years on the contract or what he's going to play out and then he's done? Is he looking for another deal after the next 2 years are up on his contract? I mean, those are questions I can't answer. But in the back of his mind, you can't tell me he hasn't started to at least think about some of this stuff.
You know, we talk about him, and you know, then obviously people, of course, you think about Stamkos, you think about O'Reilly. Well, those guys have their names on the cup, and he does not. When it comes down to it, they have done it. Of course, they want more, and they want to be on a relevant winning team and all that. But he, you know, he's never done it. I mean, who are the best players? Like, Roman Josi's too good of a player to not win a cup, to me. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, who are the greatest players in this league to not Pavel Bure,
Joe Thornton,
Iginla, you know, I mean, there are, but man, like he's like, if he retires and doesn't, he will be on the list of people you name of like the greatest players, right? I mean, am I overstating it?
Well, I mean, like, I mean, Shea Weber didn't win a cup.
He's a Norris. Yeah. Yeah.
Like there are guys that are really good players. Like, yeah, like, I mean, Erik Karlsson has won a few Norris trophies. He's not won a cup. Like, there's several guys that you could put on the list. But, I mean, he's going to be, to me, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So you're talking about a Hall of Famer at that point that will not have won the Stanley Cup. And the Hall of Fame's got plenty of guys that haven't won the cup. But to your point, like, I do think there is a difference between him and, like, Stamkos right now. Like, Stamkos has won it twice. O'Reilly's won it once. And, of course, those guys want to win it again. That's why they're playing. But there is a difference between having already won one and not having won one when in terms of, like, driving some of these decisions.
I would think so, yeah. So, like, I hear what Trupek is saying there, like, you know, settled here, families. But that doesn't have to change. I mean, obviously, you have the difficulty of a couple seasons of being probably separated from the family. Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, whatever. You still have your home. You can still have your home base here,
yeah.
And you sort of have the transient lifestyle. But also, when you have kids that young, it's probably easier, right? You're not uprooting kids from school. So really, because like, how old is his oldest? Like what, three maybe?
Yeah, there's three or four. Like it's not like he's got kids in the middle of like Marchessault, right? Like Marchessault's got kids in the middle of school. O'Reilly's got kids in the middle of school. Like so is Stamkos. Like it's just different.
That's different. Yeah. And that I think makes it a lot easier to just do it, and then you can still come back here as your home base.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Roman Josi front. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at 102.5 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. We will have the Rob Rant coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:45. Teron Davenport with us at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts in the meantime at 615-737-1025. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Henry to the program. Henry, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning. I just got on the road and I heard you guys talking about moving the family mid-March, and I was just kind of thinking that's just not how that works. You know, I grew up, my dad was an 18-wheeler driver, and he was gone for pretty much all of the summer, as like most people know the business. And I just don't think it's conducive to, like, you know, team life when you've got your dad just kind of gone half the year. So I was just kind of calling to voice my opinion on that.
Thank you, Henry. Appreciate it. I mean, look, I mean, I think like if you get traded, this happens every year in the NHL. Like when you get traded in February, your family doesn't necessarily come with you at that point, right? Like it's
right.
To his point, it's hard to pick up and just move everything in the middle of a season. Like that would probably happen in the ensuing off season. So I'll put it to you this way. Like, if Roman Josi is approached by the Predators with a deal that he likes that makes sense to him in February when the deadline comes around, I don't think he's going to veto it because he's like, well, like, my family may not be with me for 2 months going into April. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's part of the deal in the NHL. Like, I mean, look, you talk about family. Like, Luke Shen has been traded like a billion times. He's got a young family. And he got traded from the Predators a few years ago, and he ended up in Winnipeg. Well, I mean, his family still lived here. His kids were playing hockey and going to school here. But he went to Winnipeg for a couple of months, and then they figured it out in the offseason, and we're all back together. So, like, that happens all the time in the NHL.
Yeah, it's part of the deal, and let's face it, like, these guys who play professional sports, they also get compensated, like, way better than most people in the world. So, like, you know, they're okay. They're good. They make it work, and it's a limited time, and at some point, you know, everybody gets back together. Again, I think with Roman, younger family, it doesn't make it easy if you're away, but it makes it easy. Uprooting kids is one of the, you know, the big things that's hard in any profession if they get to a certain age.
Well, this brings about, like, the whether it's Yossi or whether you want to dive down into, you know, the Stamkos and O'Reilly and all these different parts of it. Again, I think all these guys are different when it comes to kind of the level of what we're talking about here. But this season, you've got a new general manager coming in that I think pretty clearly, Joe, understands that the roster is going to have to be churned. And it doesn't mean you have to do it in one off season. Like, he's churned basically the bottom part of their roster in this offseason. He added Maverick Bork, and we'll see what that looks like. But, you know, based on what he said to this point, like, he's well aware that they are not a Stanley Cup contender right now. So, I mean, that would lead me to believe that at some point over the next few months, you're going to start to see some of these veteran players, at least some of them, out of here. Like, you're going to see it. Now, it doesn't mean it's Yossi, but it's going to be somebody. And I just wonder, based on what they do, let's play out a few different scenarios. Let's say they surprise, and, you know, by the time the deadline comes around, they're pretty firmly in a playoff spot. Well, what do you do if you're Chris McFarland at that point? Probably makes you less likely to start making a bunch of huge moves. I think the more realistic and fascinating scenario is going to be is, what if they are where I think everybody kind of expects them to be, which is right in the mix for a playoff spot, and by the time the deadline comes around, you don't really know if they're going to make it or if they're just going to miss out on it. How do you handle that? And my hope would be at that point you would handle it like, all right, we're not going to win a Stanley Cup, so you start to churn the roster, which is what I think Chris McFarland deep down knows he has to do to a certain degree. So that part of it is going to be interesting. How does the first half of the season affect all this? And, you know, on the Yossi front specifically, like, he's got 2 years left. He doesn't even have to do it this year. Like, right? I mean, it's you could play out this year, and then you could have this exact conversation with him next offseason if you really want to. Like, I don't know. Like, there's not necessarily a rush on that. I do think the return would be better when somebody knows that they've got him for two postseason runs.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, if you look at this, so as we look at the Preds, we've talked so often about, you know, how do you get yourself, you know, back to the top. So many teams, we look around and it's like, wow, you ended up at the top of the draft in the right year. And so you got, you know, this, you know, franchise cornerstone player or more than one. And it's a lot of the story with some of these teams. Well, look, I have no idea, like, where things are going. They're certainly much more, like, they're too competitive a team to be at the top of the draft, I think, right? Anytime soon.
So. Yeah.
So something like this is another way to accelerate things, is if you have older guys who still have a lot of value and you're willing to part with them, even franchise legends. I mean, that to me, it's a way to compensate for the fact that you're probably not going to be in that situation in the draft anytime soon. You know, if you think of this, the big picture of, like, how you get yourself enough assets to really make a push. And some of it is, as we've talked about, it's just like Brady Martin needs to be a great player and things like that, like things that are already in your possession. But this could be something that really makes a difference for you.
You think it's like
we're working really hard to get rid of Roman Yossi today.
I know. I mean, it would kind of hurt me if it happened. I mean, it's great to have around. I mean, you think his trade list would look like everybody else's? Like, if you asked him deep down where he would go, he's like, well, I'll go to Florida, and I'll go to Tampa, and I'll go to Vegas, and I'll go to Dallas, and that's about it.
That is an interesting thought. I don't know. I mean, yeah, everybody wants, like,
I got a tough time seeing Roman Josi waving his no move to go to Buffalo. That's just me.
Yeah.
You know where I really want to play? Ottawa.
Yeah. Of course, Ottawa is unattractive in, like, every possible way.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Buffalo. No. They're relevant again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that. You know, you can handle a few months of hard winter, right? Got some good chicken wings.
It's a hard winter. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Let's head back.
Lake effect's no joke.
To the phone line. Welcome in Michael to the program. Michael, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, boys. Yeah, just checking in. Wild fan checking in. Flew down to pick up my brother from Ranger School, which he just finished.
Nice.
So congrats to Henry. But
absolutely.
Just kind of want to get your voice thoughts on, you know, we've been spoiled with some good hockey up in the north. You know, Hope Hughes re-signs, but want to get your thoughts on kind of as you're rebuilding, kind of the dangers of, you know, it's great to get back playing playoff hockey, but you know, you also don't want to be kind of stuck in the middle where, you know, the top of the Western Conference is pretty legit, and you know, first round exit or second round exit every year isn't also ideal. So, kind of get your thoughts on kind of as you're kind of architecting a rebuild, not getting kind of caught in the middle.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I mean, that's where they found themselves basically throughout the entirety of their franchise, right? I mean, that's what it's been. And, you know, you're trying to eventually break through that. But I do, like, there are people right now that we just talked about, like, what does Chris McFarland do if this team is in a playoff spot by the time the deadline comes around? There are people listening right now that say, who cares? No, it doesn't. It shouldn't affect anything. And the reality is, that's just not the case. Like, it is going to affect conversations that the general manager has about his team, depending on where you are in the standings. But that's absolutely you certainly do not want to be in a cycle where they've largely been in their franchise, where it's like, you know, you're pretty good. You're good enough to get in the playoffs, but you're not, for the most part, good enough to really do any damage when you get there. That's a frustrating place to be as a fan base.
Yeah, and look, the games change, leagues change. As we get, well, you know, we'll always talk about this. We're getting further and further away from it. But they did get within two wins of winning the Cup with a team that the next year won the President's Trophy with the best decor in the league, incredible goaltending, obviously. They made a trade for a number one center who, before he got hurt, was playing every bit like a number one center during that run. And, you know, like, you look at what they had, you know, in terms of forwards, one of their most talented guys got hurt early in that run. I mean, it was a lot of, like, you know, ham and egging it. And I think that's harder to do now. I mean, I think obviously the emphasis now is you know, they've got to be stronger down the middle, and they've got to be more dangerous, you know, with their forward group. But it's not the only way to be at the top of the draft. That's a terrible sentence, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you just can't, like, if you think that's the only way to do it, first of all, look around the league. That's not everybody's story. The Carolina Hurricanes are not a story like that, right? I mean, we just, like, so like, there are different ways to do it. Obviously, it's great if you can be the Sharks, and they may be unbelievable for a while here moving forward with the way things worked out for them. But this is why something like this, I mean, Caleb says we're wasting airtime on this. I don't think so. Alex Doherty wrote a column. I think it's a well-thought-out column, and I don't think it's a waste of time to talk about this, because these are the types of things that you can do that can really fast forward things and make a big difference. I don't think it's a non-starter of a topic.
We will have the Rob rant coming up next. Teron Davenport with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. It is time for the Rob rant, served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. Shout out to Nashville resident Ryan Johansson for his contribution to the program. He's everywhere now, Joe. He's doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, saw him. He did the podcast with Jill Jelinek. By the way, Real quick, not to hijack your rant, but congrats to Jill going out, going doing the play-by-play world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things like that.
Friend of the show. Friend of the show. Let me start here. There's a lot wrong with college football and college sports in general that we've talked about over the last, 6 years. Let me commend something real quick, Joe. And there's a piece at The Athletic today that I'm going to get to here in just a second, which may be one of my favorite things that's ever been done. But let me commend this. The 5 year eligibility rule that's about to take place, where you've got, you know, you've got 5 years of eligibility, 5 and 5. Like I am very much in favor of this. I think this is great. Like the idea that you don't have to worry about like some four game, like, oh, let's make sure that we don't play such and such in this game because we don't want to burn a red shirt year and all. So like, I just think it's so stupid. So I'm glad that they're putting an end to that, and they've got a 5 year eligibility rule, and that's going to get this. It's going to get this things going. You know, Clark Lee talked about that earlier this week. It is probably going to lead to like some interesting conversations from people who have been here 4 years that are like, all right, so you can technically come back and play next year, but should you go to the NFL? Or if you're not good enough to go to the NFL, is there somebody that's coming to take your spot? Like all these things, and that part of it will be interesting. But in general, I really like the 5 year eligibility term limit. And let me tell you why. The Athletic this morning, Joe, has come out with the all geezer team, and which is first off hilarious. College football's 2026 all geezer team, the 7th and 8th year players that are on rosters this year. There are people on this list that have played college football and been in college football since 2019. It is 2026. It is amazing. And look, I understand we had COVID that took place and all that. I mean, some of these involve medical red shirts. Like there's a whole list of things that happen here. So I get it. I understand how we got here, but it is amazing to me that there will be like 8th year college football players this year. I mean, Max Johnson, who, if you would have told me Max Johnson quarterbacked, you know, A&M in like 2013, I would have said, yeah, that adds up. Max Johnson is the quarterback at Georgia Southern this year. And after this year, I mean, by the year's end, this is what they say in the article here, he will have been coached by Ed Orgeron, Jimbo Fisher, Mack Brown, Bill Belichick, and Clay Helton in college. I mean, think about that. I mean, just it's unbelievable. And he's not the only one. I mean, there's a defensive lineman in here that's been in college football since 2019. I was unaware of this. There's a tight end named Rocky Beers who plays for Oklahoma, which definitely has to be on the all-name team. But he's been in there since 2021. Like, these 7th and 8th year players are starting to be phased out this year, but this is probably the last year of the all-geezer team, and it is amazing to think about players playing college football since 2019. I got married in 2019, and we're coming up on our 7-year anniversary, Joe.
No, it is. Yeah, I know. This is one of those things that's like, well, I don't know about unfortunately, but this is like, it is kind of fun. Like, I love this idea for a story. Muhammad Toure from Miami, first season was 2019. I mean, you're talking about Rutgers, and some of these guys have been in all these different places. And so, you know, we're losing this, you know? Are we sure we want to lose this? No, you know, here and there you still would have, like, you know, like Chris Wenke, remember? He, for anybody who does remember, he was at Florida State. I think he was like 26 his last year at Florida State. Sometimes you've got
Brandon Whedon.
Yeah. You guys, Matt Mock, who I actually covered in minor league baseball, who then went on later, he decided, okay, I'm going to go. And he actually quarterback for Saban at LSU. I mean, he was old because he did that. But the fact that you could be this old and be around this long just while in college football is like pretty amazing stuff. So, no, I'm with you, though. The 5 for 5 is a really good rule, and eventually, now right now everybody's suing who's because, you know, someone's going to get screwed over when you do any kind of rule change, but eventually we're going to get to, I think, a good place with that.
Have you seen the dude? His name's Tom Green. He's 60 years old. He's a cancer survivor, and I think he's playing college football at McDaniel College this year? Walk-on defensive lineman?
Okay. I'm not sure. I remember there was someone last year who was like that.
I think it was him last year. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Same guy. Yeah. Yeah. You said he's 60?
Yeah. I think he'll be turning 61.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It is.
Can you imagine like willingly allowing yourself to be hit like that by 20-year-olds?
Yeah. He's like three times their age. It's amazing. Tom Green. That is. Shout out.
That dude loves ball. You talk about loving ball. That guy loves ball. My goodness.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Teron Davenport from ESPN will be with us coming up next. Training camp right around the corner for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into all that with TD. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025 The Game.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.